going for real this time.
All right.
Good thing we caught it early and not halfway through the episode.
Yep.
Chris is supposed to be checking that like every 5 seconds.
Hey, I got it 10 seconds into the open. You know?
We are tracking.
And what are we drinking here?
What's crack-a-lackin'? I believe someone said in the first cut.
Yeah, that's all you missed. I get.
The good old Lisbon by night.
Mm-hmm. It used to be a restaurant.
Not anymore.
They had the biggest pepper grinder I've ever seen.
Oh, those are comically big.
This is too much.
Yeah. You know, so, sometimes the song comes in too quick. Other times, not quick enough. Right?
Where's Jack?
He's waiting it out.
Yeah. Give me the Jack.
Guys, want to watch Power Rangers Part 2 after?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, best show.
That's great.
Go Goldar.
Gentlemen.
Cheering for
Let's
Goldar.
Broaden our minds. Lawrence.
Block the wind, roast
the bomb. Very impressive. We have top players.
What you think?
Portugal.
Welcome to the Portugal Corner, the podcast where we talk about all things Portuguese soccer, the good, the bad, and the funny. My name is Evan.
Patrick.
Justin.
Chris.
All right. It's episode 105.
105, and we're still alive.
Ayo. What's happening, boys? To the listeners, thanks for joining us. Welcome to another crazy episode. We talk about Portuguese soccer here.
Yeah, if this is your first episode, we are two brothers. Two sets of cousins, and we shoot the shit.
Yep. Drink wine, talk about soccer. You guys ready to get into it?
Yeah.
Champions League.
Oh.
Let's get it going. I'm sure you guys are excited.
Yeah.
Inter proved they were due for a win. They beat Benfica 2-0 at the Luge. Lackluster performance from the Eagles. Couple of questionable penalty calls and non-calls. What was that about?
The calls?
Yeah.
You want to go right into the calls? Yeah. I'd say pretty, pretty
suspect.
Not good. Let's talk about the lineups first.
Sure.
So Benfica's coming in pretty much a similar midfield lineup than they always use. They got Otamendi out and Ba also out through injury. But Otamendi we knew was not going to play. So we had to start with Morato and Antonio Silva, and they just kind of like, I don't know, they just don't have that oomph, that spark that they had playing before the international break.
Yeah, well, they're playing with the same form they were playing against Porto.
Yeah, like, just carried over, which we were worried that it would. You got to stop that bleeding, you know what I mean? I think Arsene Wenger said one time, he was like, you know, the difference between like a top manager, like what you have to do is like once the losses come, to stop the losses.
Yeah.
It's like very
and like
important.
Get out of that bad form and like bounce back.
Yeah.
It's like calling a timeout when things are starting to go bad. You got to like cut it off and like, all right, new plan.
You got to cauterize the wound.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know who couldn't do that? Graham Potter.
No.
Graham Potter can't cauter.
It's I think it is what kind of separates the top managers from the others, right? Because who else couldn't do it? Bruno Lage couldn't do it. Rui Vitória towards the end could not do it. So, you know, it's something that Schmidt, and I think he has the capability to, but do these players, I don't know. Does he have the right weapons? I don't know. I think he does. So he plays with the same lineup. It's a similar thing to Porto. The game's not going well. They're not really making stuff happen. There was one instance where Rafa had his shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Parried by the goaltender who, oh, by the way, Onana played great. I would love for him to be our goalie.
He's a good goalie, yeah.
He's solid in there. He was taking crosses every time they were making crosses, just stepping up and grabbing them. Couldn't do it. Couldn't really get anything going.
Mm-hmm. Barella gets the first goal off a big, juicy cross that finds his head. Second goal comes from Lukaku. He does his little stutter steps on the penalty spot. Both Porto Benfica feeling the wrath of Lukaku.
He could have saved that penalty.
Yeah. Odysseas. Yeah. Overall, how was his performance?
It was fine.
It was okay. I mean, his ball distribution's not that great, but, you know, I mean, the cross, could he have come out for it? I don't know. Maybe Onana would have, but that was a pretty good cross. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about the cross was, like, they're coming at us, right? I think the guy is Bastoni. Bastoni is, like, a center back.
Yeah.
Like, it was almost like they were like, this guy's not going to do shit. Go ahead. Like, what the hell are you going to do? And actually, the amount of ball we were giving them and opportunities in our end, we're lucky that, like, half their players are shit because they could have scored a couple. Lotaro couldn't hit the fucking net. I think
that guy stinks now.
Dzeko was terrible too. Once they brought on Lukaku, and similar to what happened in Porto, and we'll talk about the next game after, but they beat us to the punch with the subs again.
Yeah, they subbed first.
They switched. They made the first move. Mm-hmm. They put on. They switched up both strikers. It was Correa and Lukaku. Fresh legs.
Yeah,
he really wanted to attack, I think, Morato and Antonio Silva.
This is all he's got going for him, man.
Yeah. People and Zaghi's brother. Yeah.
I think Schmidt doesn't like the bench. He's like, what am I going to do? I'd rather just stick with these guys.
It's clear. It's clear that he doesn't, you know. Florentino was in there. Shaquino was in there.
He did have Gedge on the bench. He waited too long, and then he couldn't get them out.
He looked pathetic in that moment. That yeah. looked so weak. It was like the play wouldn't stop. The referee wasn't giving him the opportunity to stop, but it was already the 88th minute. Like, what was your plan there? To just mm-hmm. bring them on for 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and expect them to do nothing? Just show up and get their head to something? Like,
and coming back from injury, too. Like, he's not that hot to trot.
Yeah. And actually, like, kudos to him. I thought when that injury happened, I was, like, doing the math in my head. I was like, okay, they're saying it might be this. It was like...
Yeah, I thought he was done for the season.
Half that time. Well, I think the original...
They said he'd come back, but yeah, it was earlier than I thought.
It was way earlier than thought. So, we're down 1-0. At that point in the game with the subs, where he's not making the subs, we're down 2-0. But, you know, let's talk about the penalties. So, we first saw it, and we were like, nah, they're not going to call that. It was super harsh. And then, as soon as the ref goes to the screen, you're like, well, this is a penalty. They don't call the ref to go to the screen unless it's like, you got to change this. So it hits his head, and his hand is above his head for some reason. But sometimes when you're jumping and trying to get a lot of height, you will lead with that shoulder, and then your hand's kind of in a weird spot.
Trying to keep your balance.
Yeah, it's a balance thing. So it clunks off his hand, and I guess it does change the direction, but that is harsh as shit. Mm-hmm. Especially when we had an opportunity in there and where similar thing happened, but this guy's hand's close to his body. I mean, I guess it's in a more natural position, but it still bounces off his body, then his hand, then changes the direction of the ball. So, I mean, just call it consistently. And knowing that you didn't call it over there, leave it for us. Don't call it on us either. I think if we had lost that game 1-0, that would have been a fair result. 0-0 would have been better, but if we lost the game 1-0, that would have been okay. Losing it 2-0, I thought was way too harsh for the way both teams played.
2-0 at home is going to be hard to come back from.
No, we'll come back from it. It's just like it's so harsh. Like, why that second goal? I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Well, Inter's just going to sit back next game.
Yeah, that's what they did to Porto. Yeah. Well, at least you can watch exactly what they're going to do because they did that last time.
Hmm. Yeah, they're going to study that game.
You're welcome. But yeah, kind of disappointing. I was hoping for you guys to get some revenge because fuck Inter. They've been having such a shit season. To see them do well now is just annoying.
Well, you guys put us in a funk. You should have let us win.
Yeah, blame it on Porto.
Nah, we're not going to let you do that.
I mean, some of those guys on the team you mentioned, like, that's the biggest game probably in their careers, right? Tony Silva.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're not phased.
I think Otamendi would have made a more of a difference, more confidence in that back line. And, you know, just based off the way we're playing since... Ba's injury, I'm like, maybe the game does go through Ba. Well, at least half the game does. Because on that side, we're completely useless now. I mean, we're not giving it to Gilberto a lot, and I don't even think he knows what to do when he has it.
He struggles a bit, yeah.
He struggles. So then it's more pressure on Grimaldo's side, and then all the plays on Grimaldo's side, and then he has all the responsibility. Right?
It's Gilberto Carlos. It's his fault. No Ba. All right, move on. City strike down Bayern 3-0. Much like Mane strikes down Sané after the match. A stonker from Rodri, followed by goals by Bernardo. And, of course, Haaland, who I think was his 45th goal of the year.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Mane apparently punched Sané in the face in the dressing room after.
Oh, for Mane real? On Sané, yeah. Crime.
Yeah, man.
Wow, tensions are high, eh?
Yeah.
As they kind of should be, it's funny because they got rid of their coach. a bunch of people are on the bench because that's such a stacked team. Mm-hmm. So then I guess if you're not really stepping up or playing, they're going to...
They fined him $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know, probably some games. Probably going to get shipped out.
They fined Mané?
Yeah, Bayern.
Mané could build a whole village in his hometown for that kind of money.
So you're just stealing from his village.
That's exactly where my head went. I was like, man.
The village.
The village is going to be hurting.
Damn, that was their that was their electricity bill for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think Mané to be the type to punch another person.
I wouldn't think so either. I don't know what that was about. That was tensions must have been high, man.
Maybe nope. Sané started it.
Who knows? Who knows? Sané came out on the weekend with a busted up lip, I'll tell you that.
Really?
Yeah.
Much like me with this giant pimp zit on my lip. You know what the problem with a zit on your lip is? It kind of looks like a cold sore.
Yep.
And it's never
I thought you were going to say it looks like herpes.
That's what.
That's a cold sore.
Yeah. You can get a cold sore without herpes.
No.
Nope. No, it's all the same.
Oh.
You just learned that right now.
Oh, no. But yeah, City, Bernardo, little header in there. And they crushed Bayern 3-0, which is pretty surprising, seeing as Bayern's always just like a jacked Champions League team.
I was mentioning, I think it was last week, I was like, I don't like it when Bernardo's not the focal point of the team, and he hasn't been for a little bit, and then it's like he was just saving him for this game.
Yeah.
And they brought him in, man of the match performance.
Yeah.
Love to see it.
Pep needs to deliver a Champions League this year.
Yeah.
For those City boys.
Well, it's going to be hard with Benfica on the other side, so we'll see.
All right. Benacker, the only goal scorer in the Italian derby. AC Milan did not show all their cards or when they beat Napoli the other week.
Oh, they still had some cards left. They had a ace up their sleeve.
Yep.
Which was just that, like, I think we're better than you guys.
Yeah, just that one card, Benacker. Madrid disposes of Chelsea 2-0 at the Bernabeu, despite Todd Boehly's 3-0 Chelsea win prediction.
Great.
He meant 3-0 in the second leg.
In the second leg, okay.
3-0 total, yeah.
Dude, and then they win.
3-0 is like one of those scores like someone who's just overconfident, doesn't know anything about what's going to happen, just like, ah, they'll beat them 3-0. Yeah.
Apparently he goes into their change room all the time and like does team talks.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He's one of those owners.
Well, that's what's killing him.
Yeah.
Less owner, the better down there. So you think he just says a bunch of stuff and then, like, right after the real coach goes, okay, forget what this guy just said now.
Definitely. All right. Europa and Conference League. Actually, probably just Europa. Portuguese failures. Man, we drop below Holland in the coefficient and lose third place Champions League spot and second automatic spot. Sporting failed to beat Juve. 1-0 loss. Mourinho could have helped with Roma, but they lost to Feyenoord, and yeah, we're dropping points. We're out of luck.
It's because we don't make it into the Conference League.
Yeah.
Well, the way this all works is like it'll just keep rotating, right? Because then we're gonna have more good teams in the lower stupid competitions, and then we'll start winning those and get more points, and then we'll pass them again.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then we don't have enough capital to keep up or stay that way, so then we'll drop back down.
Maybe. It's an endless cycle. But yeah, Sporting lose to Juve 1-0. Morita with quite the display. That Chesney, man, he was everywhere all at once.
He's good.
I believe it was Perrin. Perrin played.
Oh, then it was
looked
Perrin.
Like him.
Whoa, I thought it was Chez.
It looked like Perrin. Ah, sure. We're watching the highlights.
That Juventus goalie.
There you go. That.
Yeah, quite a performance. Yeah, Sporting, they look good. They kept hitting the net constantly. Back-to-back saves. Yeah, they couldn't do it.
They had so many chances. I mean, yeah. That one at the end was like, how do you miss both those? I mean, yeah. It's not even missing. It's just kind of, like Chris said, great saves.
Beautiful saves.
Yeah, the shots were kind of weak. Blast it, top.
Yeah, they're a little weak. They were right down the center pipeline, you know?
Yeah.
You got to tuck them. They didn't tuck.
So you think they can come back? I guess they're coming back to the Alvalade.
Sure, why not?
Of course they can.
Very possible.
Okay. Against these Juventus with the Jeep tread. What's his name? Chiesa's back.
Ooh.
Yeah. You guys see these new Jeeps that look like they have angry faces out on the road?
No.
No.
Their headlights are wild. I got to show you them.
Yeah, we'll take a little detour. Let's go.
It does look angry.
Those belong.
Well, that one has eyelids.
Those belong in Mario Kart.
Yeah. Looks like they've put like kind of something to make it look like it's wearing eye makeup and just kind of point them down.
I saw one as I was coming here today, and I was like, "What the fuck is up with these Jeeps?
Evil Jeeps.
Yeah.
They're evil Jeeps. That's what it is.
Powered by Rita.
Mourinho and Roma cannot beat Feyenoord. 1-0 game. Hopefully they can come back. Then Manchester United go up 2 goals against Sevilla, but Maguire takes the wheel. The Reds let in 2 own goals and leave them drawn before the final leg.
Yeah, we were out at this point. I think enjoying the beautiful, hot, fake summer that we all had here in Southern Ontario.
Beautiful weekend.
Amazing day to be out and about, take it in, get the first golf round in, you know? But, you know, it's just temporary because, I mean, it's freezing now.
It's already back to normal, yeah.
But, so, you know, we were like, oh, Sabitzer masterclass, it looks like. Mm-hmm. Looks like
2 goals.
2 easy goals. Looks like an easy win with Sevilla in the Europa League. It's not easy. I think that both goals were after like the 83rd minute where you think like this is wrapped up, right?
Yeah, late goals to draw.
This is Sevilla's tournament.
They love this shit.
It's what they live for.
And Champions League's Real Madrid's tournament.
Mm. Yeah.
Arguably.
Man, I don't want to see them win again.
I don't mind. Doesn't bother me.
Okay. Says the man in the Madrid jersey.
Yeah, you kind of switch allegiance once in a while.
All right, jump into the Portuguese league. The weekend kicks off. Guimarães dropping the ball to Famalicão, 2-1 game, leaving the Conquistadors winless in their last 5. Previous win was against Santa Clara, so they're not on a good run. I was really hoping, man, like, I feel like Guimarães is one of those clubs that maybe they can get into the Conference League and do something special. Because, like, you know, they got a big club, they got a big stadium, a big fan base. You know,
if anyone was going to get into the Conference League and succeed, it would be them, maybe.
Yeah.
Looks like it's going to be Arouca.
It is.
I got faith in them.
Yeah. Arouca, hey, there's nothing bad I can say about them. They're up in 5th place and they're owning it. They tied Sporting on Sunday 1-1. Pote missed one penalty, scored a late one to save the day.
This is another instance of just like, they're throwing the kitchen sink at these nets and nothing's going in. It's very unfortunate.
That Arouca goalie was on fire too.
I think at this point you got to say that after they dropped those points and then Braga won their game, it's really tough. It's going to be very tough for them to get third now.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Sporting were trying to rest players for Juve, and then I feel like Ruben Amorim has done this before where he's like trying to rest players and then they go down and then he just subs everyone on and it's still... Like, they can't turn it into a win, but they at least managed to get back from the 1-0. And it's like, dude, you gotta have faith in your players.
It's more desperation than tactical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's trying something. He's like, if this works out perfectly, I'm going to be sitting pretty for Juve. And then it goes badly. And he's like, all right, change of plan. Scrap that old plan. We're going with the classic.
Yeah, but you're basically telling your whole team, okay, none of you guys are good enough. Here are the actual players that I want to have on the field. Players.
Good. They need to be told that they're not good enough. I want our coach to do that.
Oh, that's fair. Whatever gets them jacked up.
Yeah. Fight for your right to party.
Yeah. Morita came on the field. Him in both games, man. He was great. He was on fire. He was winning headers. He's like one of the shortest guys on the pitch. I kept seeing him get headers on net.
You want to know why? He's probably got that dog in him.
That dog.
Morita's got that dog in him.
Yep.
I think Arouca could pass Sporting.
They might. They're not that far off.
Could happen.
All right.
I wonder, we got to ask Sportingista, would they like to win the Conference League? I mean, it's still very theoretical now, but maybe towards the end of the season if they make it. We'll have to ask that.
Yeah. I think so.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Sorry, it's a silly question. Why wouldn't you want to win the Conference League, right? If you're in the Conference League, why not win it?
They're
like Roma. They had a big party in Rome.
They're in the Europa League.
If they drop.
They can't drop now. But we're saying next season.
Okay.
Based on where they're qualified.
If that's what you got, get it.
Yeah. Go hard. You know, it was not going to go play in Europe. The battle for the playoff spot at the bottom of the table in full effect. Marítimo plays Passos. Boys from Madeira show that they still got a lot of fight left in them. They beat them 3-1 with goals from Vidigal, Vladimir, and Vitor.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, the three V's.
Yeah, Andre Vidigal, really nice goal there in the box, top shelf. They are looking like a real team. I think they're gonna catch up to that Estoril, man. I don't think they're gonna slow down.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Nice climb out.
Well, that's nice. We want one of the islands to be represented because Santa Clara's going down for sure. So
fun to watch the dogs at the bottom scrap it out.
Mm-hmm. Those dirty dogs.
Dirty dogs.
These teams do not have that dog in them.
I think Maritimo has gotten it. Yeah, recently.
Maritimo does, but not at the beginning of the year. Benfica face off with Chaves in the far north, but cannot unlock a win. In the dying embers of the game, Ghanaian substitute scores a winner in extra time to steal major points from the top boys. That first place lead is cut down to 4 points now.
Wild.
Not good.
The lineup is very similar to who faces Inter, except we have Florentino out, right?
Yeah, because he got the yellow at Porto.
Yeah, yellow at Porto. Yellows.
And this guy will not bench Auschwitz.
No.
I want him. It so bad.
For some reason, Arshness is a key to his game right now.
He's really not. I think he's abysmal.
I think that he's had games like the first Bruges game and everything where he was popping up everywhere against some of the teams with no dog in them. He like really succeeded. And I think, you know, that he's off form. And I think you're right.
You got to bench a guy who's off form.
You got to bench the guy who's off form. But maybe he'll wake him up.
Schmidty's afraid to bench his players.
So the one change he did make was the change that he made in the Porto game and the change that he made in the Inter game, which is that he likes David Neres to come off the bench. And the only guy he likes on the bench is David Neres. Mm-hmm. But now
doesn't like being on the bench.
No. But now he's after he was on the bench for the Inter game, which I think in that game he could have made a difference. Like, you start Neres in that game. I don't know why you don't.
You leave Neres on the bench for too long. You get sleepy.
He gets too sleepy.
Yeah, too tired.
And then I think he was pissed after the Inter game, and he walked out into the tunnel, and I heard reports that he walked straight to his car and he left.
Ooh.
And it starts in this game. But these Chaves guys and some of these teams, right, they really, like, lock you down. They're not trying to play that much.
Dude, they had no space.
They dominated that box. It was just filled up to the max.
They defended like their life depended on it. They're running back. They're barely going forward, too, though. But
not even in a relegation zone. They're fine.
And we can't use the other side that much or that well because Romario on the wing isn't really it. David Neres was kind of coming up on each side, and Grimaldo was going a lot through him. And he just got his crosses blocked like every single time.
Try to cross it. The guy's right on you.
Yeah. Well, fake the cross then and fucking maybe get a step into the box.
It's like they know the fakes. They're like predicting fakes. They know. They know where you're going to go.
They've seen the tape, eh? The other thing is that, so then we have Arsenis and Chiquinho in the midfield. Chiquinho did that spin against Inter, which really impressed me. But, you know, I feel like none of these guys are Enzo, and I hate to bring it back to him. But he was kind of like a cut above, and he was like our best player. This is why we were so pissed to lose him in that January market. Mm-hmm. We fucking really, really didn't want him to go. And against Inter, I feel like that's the difference. He was the difference between making us a quarterfinal team and a semifinal team, you know? Mm-hmm. I think it would have really helped.
There's a lot of stuff online about it. It was just like mutually assured destruction for both teams. Like Benfica got fucked over. He ended up at Chelsea. He was having a terrible season.
Good.
So it's like everybody loses in this deal.
Because of some stupid young kid doesn't know how to make decisions.
Yeah.
Everybody hurts sometimes.
That's right.
Enzo, he's hurting.
Steven Vitoria had that dog in him.
Dude.
The thing is about this fucking guy, he's a Porto fan. I know it.
Yeah.
And he played like the game of his life.
He got to do it.
And Benfica barely played him when they had him and let him go.
That's what he gets.
He's got vengeance in him.
Getting that revenge.
Dude. Well, thank God we didn't give him a free kick from outside the box because he would have buried it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Or that being said, we still lost. So we were going towards the end of this game, and I'm thinking, all right, tie's not great. 5-point lead, whatever. And then the most horrible thing happens. I don't know if you want to talk about some more stuff before that.
No.
But not you.
for the second time of that game, Otamendi just serves up a breakaway.
So the first one, he just gets blown past, and Vlaco Dimos comes up with a crazy save, which was amazing.
Great.
So you got to hand it to the guy when he does do something good.
I feel like it would kind of be better if they scored that first one instead. And then we'd have time to come back.
We'd be all fired up.
Maybe we'd even get two, who knows, but probably not.
That's a good point, Patrick. So then right at the end, just like the last kick of the ball, goalkeeper hoofs it right to Otamendi, and he just doesn't control it and slips a little bit.
Pass it right to the guy.
Right to the guy. He just moves past him. Of course, in that situation, you know the guy's going to score. He's not going to score.
Yeah.
Hey, man. In injury time, that's practically a buzzer beater. Yeah. It takes a lot of nerves.
Pretty much.
So, not 5 points like we thought it was going to be. It's 4 points. And right before the Porto game, I was like, if we win this game, we're 13 points up and the season is over.
Oh,
and now it's 4 points. Like, how could that gap have potentially been 13 and now it's 4?
A world of change.
That's a big swing. That is like a double bogey while the other guy eagles, man. You're fucked.
It's huge. Maybe we're going to Brooks Koepka it.
Oh, hopefully not.
No. I just hope they learn from this and they go hard and they win out the rest of the games.
Yeah, I mean, you'd still rather be us than them.
Yeah, you are in the lead.
Not really when you look at the schedule. They're almost in a better position.
True, but you know, this is in relation to the Arsenal game, which we'll talk about in a bit, but they're kind of in the similar situation where their gap's kind of tightened, but they do have to face their main rival. We don't have to face Porto, but we do have to face Sporting, and we do have to face some other teams.
Yeah.
And he said that Neville, this was Neville talking, he said, you know, Sir Alex used to say when we had to win one of these games, if I told you at the beginning of the season, all we have to do is go there and win the game and then we'll win the league, would you take that? And he would be, and everyone on the team would be like, yeah. So then, you know, you got to think that way. It's like, this is your opportunity to win the league right here. It doesn't matter about the points or what's happened before. You look at this game, you say, if we win this game, and every, you know, how João Mario says it a lot, it's like, just, we have 5 finals to play. Yeah. Every game's a final,
so
right?
You have to look at it now, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like you have a lead. As long as you just don't lose, you keep that lead.
More pressure on
we can
the
lose one.
Game.
We can even lose one.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah, one. I'll give you one.
We could even lose the Braga game. 4 points is still better than being, you know, lower than that.
Yeah, but there's even more pressure on winning the Braga game and the Sporting game.
We don't have to. We can lose one of them. We still
That's scary.
But we still have the numerical advantage. We will eventually, they'll run out of games. Mm-hmm. There'll be no more games left.
We'll see.
I feel like Porto has that dog in them, but like I feel like they could drop points against some of these teams.
Dude, we got to go up against Maritimo next week, and they're red hot.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
I feel so bad for praising them so much, knowing that we got to fucking play them next.
One of them's Casapia, too. I think maybe another team that's pretty decent.
I'll tell you this. I thought Maritimo should have beat them the last time they played. But the crazy Maritimo striker got a red card for no reason under very suspicious circumstances.
Oh, sick. So the refs are on our side.
And how are you gonna compete with Porto? Did you see the penalty they got awarded this week? We'll get to it. But
whoa. Yeah. Fair penalties.
Wait, we got
good back-to-back penalties. That happens all the time.
In this game, reffing, nothing really to complain about that I recall.
Rafa, they were on him. Like, he couldn't play.
Oh, this is what I want. Yeah, the lineup. So we're talking about the subs that he was making and that he doesn't like his bench. But then it's like, why spend the money for guys you don't think are ready? I mean, he did bring in Tangstad props to him instead of Musa, which was cool of him. And then Musa at the end to get his head on something. He almost did. Right before that, Otamendi almost scored.
He
right?
did, yeah.
Before
did
he what screwed up, he almost scored.
A header?
Yeah, a header, and the goalkeeper kept it out. Crazy save. And I just want to say that about these bench guys, like, João Neves comes on, makes a difference, and he was a guy I was calling for in the Porto game. Like, they said he was warming up, and then he never came on or something. And it's like, get this guy out there. He moves. He's 18. He's got
got something in him. He's got confidence.
He hoofed that ball up the field, and you're like, was that a cross or a shot on net? And it was like, oh, it might have been going top corner. I think goalie got to
it. I don't think
it
was curling in. But he made the goalie do something, and he got a corner, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I say play him earlier or even start him because Arsenis right now isn't moving like him. He's not.
Exactly.
He doesn't have that directness, that speed. No one has it. Maybe they're all tired because the Heat has been using the same fucking lineup for all, 20 weeks.
And some of these guys look scared when they're passing. They're making the easy decision. Neves doesn't care. He's like going for it. He's doing stuff. Making moves, grooving,
moving, grooving, in a way. And that's something a little less predictable is probably what, Gonzalo Ramos needs, because Gonzalo Ramos has been playing shit either, but he's been getting nothing from the...
A forward depends
on his midfielders to get him the ball, right?
Yeah, who is servicing Gonzalo Ramos?
No, we need two guys servicing him at least.
Well, where are those wingers?
Yeah.
I was going to say, this 4 points I've been thinking about, it's getting me scared. We got to play Champions League. Fuck Champions League. I don't care anymore.
Title.
Get out
Only
of it.
Only the title.
What? We're going to... Okay, maybe we get to the semis and then we get knocked at the semis and we lose the league. It's like, I don't want to risk that.
Yeah. I could definitely see it all going that way.
No. We have to go. We have to go play 3-0 in Milan. That's what we got to go for.
But then what do you get out of the season? Moments? No trophies?
Beautiful moments that last forever.
It would make us lose the league games, but it would make us more tired.
It's a
maybe.
Distraction.
Yeah, distraction. We got to go full force on league.
Porto already lost that distraction.
Well, actually, they have to play Tasso. We don't.
Ooh, yeah, Tasso's still coming up.
The sad part about this is that 2 weeks ago, we were thinking about this completely differently. We were going, this is our year to pass into the semifinals finally and possibly the finals based on the side of the draw. This was supposed to be a party, and you've turned it into a funeral. You realize what you've done, Porto?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Giving us all this stress.
And, I remember this. Patrick,
you guys had it too easy early on.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Patrick reminded me of this about when I stopped following Benfica for a while. It was one of those years where Benfica lost to Porto in the last game of the season. And I remember just thinking, Porto just always makes their fans happy. They just always come through. Now, this was before the 4 titles in a row. So since then, my outlook has kind of changed. Benfica's brought me back in. Yeah. Mm. And
that season, you're like, I'm not watching this next season.
I was that pissed. I wasn't out, but I was like, this is too bad for me. This is too depressing for me. I can't handle this anymore. I love it too much.
That was George Jesus dropped to his knees, right?
Yeah. So anyways, I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think we got to go for it on all fronts. I mean, there's numerous historical reference points of, fighting a war on both fronts and winning, right? There's got to be.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
A tie?
Porto climbing up the table still. They manage a 2-1 win against Santa Clara. Uribe smashes a penalty, and then minutes later, Otavio shoots one wide of the net. Danny Loader would come on and score the winner as Santa Clara scored in the 92nd minute through Tagawa.
And glad he did, because I got him on the real
Yeah.
Props to...
one of the only guys that has him.
Props to Tagawa for scoring. Unfortunately, we should... Oh, you have the note there.
Yeah. Yeah, Eustáquio around the second half, I think it was in the 55th minute or something like that, he got subbed off. Very sad news. His mother passed away during the game. Thoughts and prayers to him. Sad moment for him and his family. Wish them the best.
Damn, man. That's harsh to get that news in the middle of a game.
Yeah. And he was playing really well. He's doing great bits for Porto. But
do you think, I don't want to go too deep down this rabbit hole, but do you think the coach is like, they find out the news and like, should I tell him? He's playing so good right now.
I bet. I was just thinking the same thing of I bet everyone had that same question in their mind.
Yeah.
Not to make this a funny thing, but it's an interesting thing. Yeah. Do you tell someone that or you wait till after the game? And I wonder what Eustáquio would have preferred to have happen, right?
I feel like people usually wait till the end of the game.
But I think everyone had to make a decision because what if he found out someone knew halfway through the game and didn't tell him, and then you have to be like, why didn't you tell me, right? But I think in that position, you're kind of like, I mean, I didn't really need to know. It's a Schrodinger's cat situation.
Yeah.
Family first, right?
Family first, as family always, first. And condolences first as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
But yeah, other than that, I felt the Benfiquistas moment of the day coming off that loss was seeing Otavio miss a penalty. you guys enjoy that?
Yeah.
I would have preferred them not to get awarded that first penalty. That was bizarre.
13 points up, Benfica boys would have been like, yeah, I did enjoy that. Four points up, Benfica to enjoy boys were like, I don't like enjoying that.
It's like ashes in your mouth, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, Taremi this game. He's got some time off there. Tony Martinez started, and then we subbed out a bunch of kids this game, which was nice. Danny Loader comes on, and he scores the winner. The English boy. And then I think we also got to see...
Take a load off, Danny.
Oh, Folia and Borges bringing in the kids, which I thought it was a weird time because we were not... I mean, I think we were up 1-0 maybe at the time. And... Yeah, he's bringing on these kids, and Santa Clara almost comes back at the end.
Yeah, Santa Clara's not going to score any fuck.
Yeah, he wasn't worried about Santa Clara, I guess.
They got nothing.
They looked okay. I mean, they're fighting for their lives, so the fight's going to start, but we'll see. All right, moving on. Ricardo Horta doing a throwback as he single-handedly saves the Quarrymen from a loss against Gil Vicente. That new contract got him fired up. They win 1-0. Just like the good old days, he blasts a nice volley in the box to save Braga.
Get it, dude.
He's been on a bit of a scoring slump, and I know that for a fact because he's my captain on the Real Fever app.
Mm.
I mean, I'm kind of where I was going for fourth, I'm battling for fifth with some guy, Rodriguez.
Oh.
So if you're out there, brother, just know, once Ricardo Horta heats up, it's over for you.
Yeah, that game, Brumo was looking really good that day. Braga just in general. I don't mean they're on a tear this season.
Hey, they're not that far from Porto. Yep. And now they're not that far from Benfica either.
Yeah.
Champions League for Braga? Potentially?
Nah. Well, they got to pass Porto. We only got two spots now.
Damn.
Yeah.
No, but that'll be effective next year, right? Like, we went into this year with our spots intact. You can't lose your spots throughout the year.
Halfway through the season, they change it?
Yeah. It's got to be for next year.
We'll find out. And then today, Vizela and Bovista tie 1-1. Great goals from Youssoufa Nijé and then Rashid on Vizela. Yeah, crazy header from Youssoufa. Nice, like, finesse header into the side of the box. And then Rashid just blasted. Kind of reminiscent of that, not too much, but, like, the Mateusz Nunes, like, side of the box blast.
Yeah, yeah, sort of like that. I love this Rashid goal.
Great dip.
I'm going to give some advice to everyone out there. Watch Bovista games because there's going to be nice goals. Dude, one team or the other.
That Makuta, the way
he... And Makuta's great to
watch. Way he drives the ball up the field, he's fantastic. I would love him to jump to Porto next season.
Bovista has always had a soft spot in my heart. They won a title when I was a kid, and they're Porto's rival. So,
yep. And we got a lot of players from them. Petit, Nuno Gomes.
Yeah. No, even as a Porto fan, I like them, man. They're a great team to watch.
You're not supposed to say that.
That's okay. Thank you for listening. If you're enjoying our banter, just a reminder to share, subscribe to the pod, as well as leave a rating or review. Helps other people find the podcast so it can continue to grow. Thank you for all the engagement and support. Last week, we had a really great episode with Brendan Dunlop. Make sure to check that out if you missed it. Other than that, we're back to our regular scheduled programming. Of just our shenanigans.
Just our shenanigans. Sponsored by nobody.
Yep.
Nobody the movie by Bob Odenkirk.
All right. To England, Premier League. Ollie Watkins ties Haaland's 14 Premier League goals in 2013 with a brace in Villa's 3-0 win over Newcastle as they look to book a place in Europe.
Damn.
Yeah.
That one's for Dunlop.
Yeah. Haaland, however, responds right after that with two goals of his own. They beat Leicester 3-1. Shout out to John Stones on a banger of a goal to get the party started. I don't think he had it in him.
Hey, you know what they say? If, like, you ever play, like, a 5-a-side or a 7-a-side with, like, a central defender in the Premier League, that guy will run the game shit. Like, he'll actually destroy people.
Yeah.
They know how to do a lot of things on a football pitch.
I believe it. Teenage Stonkland for Julio Enciso as Brighton hand Lampard his third loss in as many games back for the Blues. Felix was iced out of that starting 11. He enters around the 60th minute. He gets subbed in. But Chelsea just still slumping.
Yeah, thanks, Lampard. He's the problem.
Yeah. He's got to try something. He's bringing Connor Gallagher back as a starter. He scored a goal. But, yeah, that fucking goal by that Julio Enciso, fantastic.
Just, it's things you love to see, and that is the collapse of the venture capitalist-funded football club that is destroying modern football and my club that I love so much by giving us $120 million for our best player.
Oh, poor you. Wolves record a win against Brentford Bees with goals from Diego Costa and Hwanghee Chan. Saad, Tati Gomez, and Nunez make the starting 11. Neves was suspended. Both goals assisted by Portuguese guys. Tati Gomez sets up Diego Costa there, and Mateus Nunes gets the ball to Hwanghee Chan for that goal.
Well, odds of that happening on Wolves are pretty damn high.
It doesn't always.
Yeah. Low nowadays. Yeah. Lopetegui doesn't like us.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Nunes looked particularly good in that run to the goal.
Yep.
And you know, this was like these are the kind of games they were dropping a lot, you know. But I guess this one was at home, but these type of team, Brentford, like and you'd always be like, why are they losing to this fucking team?
Yeah, can't lose to Brentford. Come on.
Well, it's good to see that they're picking it up as the season goes on, right?
Yeah. They might finish hot, jump a bunch of spots, but I mean, they're like kind of in the, aren't they like 5 points off relegation? Everyone's kind of crammed 12
it's
downwards.
It's close, though.
Right?
It's close. It's close. That mid-table's tight.
Yeah, they're doing way, way better now. The past like couple weeks or two, they've been crushing it. Let's see where they are in the table. They are in 13th place, about 7 points off. Not impossible, but in a pretty good spot. Yes. I mean, Chelsea's only 5 points ahead of them in 11th, so.
Hey, man, a couple wins, they can be in the top half of the table. It's not crazy.
Not impossible at all.
But what's the difference, right?
You're right.
Between 13th and 9th.
Promise.
Or does each.
Confidence for
does
the
each position get Does each position get like a different set of money award winnings from the Premier League or something?
I thought that's how it was.
Yeah, I think the league.
So every position matters.
Yeah, the league gives you more money if the higher you finish.
More prize money.
Mm-hmm. Arsenal stifled again by a 2-2 draw, this time against West Ham. The lead gets cut to 4 points as well. Yeah.
This is not good. They can't be giving up leads. They had a 2-0 lead.
Saka missed a penalty. High and to the left.
He's been pretty solid on penalties, though, like, throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. He's been good with them, yeah, for sure.
It's just, like, he seems to miss ones you remember. Mm-hmm. But
very,
who knows?
Very, very important ones.
But who knows? You win the league, no one's going to remember this, so.
That's true.
I'll tell you who's not giving up leads. Liverpool.
No. Liverpool slosh leads 6-1 with two goals for Diogo Jota, as well as an assist. Salah would grab two, Darwin and Gakpo. Huge win.
It felt great, man. Thank God. It's like the first time since we got Jota that I'm just like, this guy's producing. Again.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just a sturdy performance, what you want to see from him.
Yeah, he's been consistent with like assists and stuff, but and like even the odd goal here and there, but today was it's looking good.
I think it's coming off that injury because he was injured during the World Cup and throughout most of the winter. So the fact that he's, you know, producing again, that's important for the team too.
You got your boy Luis Diaz back in
finally,
this game.
6 months he's been out with that busted up knee there.
Yeah. Darwin
scored, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
It's clicking now. It's a little late. I felt like during the year they missed the boxer, Mane. They could have used him.
Yeah.
But it's clicking. If they can get some spots, always nice to win. So, like when they win big. Remember Manchester United?
Oh, yeah.
When I got sevened on me.
Do I ever?
But yeah, Jota, I guess nice to see him. He was a guy. He was a guy we were happy missed the World Cup at one point. But
no, I'd rather him still be there.
Yeah,
he's gritty up there. That's the thing. He wins those balls, and he comes back and plays good D. He's I think you want him.
Yeah, for sure. Klopp for next season. In out. Do you? I think is there anyone you'd rather see?
There's a lot of players I would rather not see.
Ooh.
Henderson, I think that guy can take a hike. Milner can take a hike. A lot of midfield. We need to revamp the midfield. But I still believe in Klopp.
Yeah. No, I think he's still good there. Yeah.
Give him another chance.
Yeah. Maybe it was like a, maybe it's kind of like a 2-year project, the rebuild, because like the first year, it looks like they've revamped the forward line, right? Because they're moving out Firmino, and they got Darwin to kind of be the successor of Firmino. And Diaz was supposed to be the thing, and Gakpo in case Salah wants to leave, but they want to keep him. And then the midfield, I think, now needs to be, right, Chris, as you were saying?
Top priority.
Who would you keep? Would you keep Thiago?
Thiago, yes. Thiago's one of my favorite. Yeah.
Him? He doesn't start, does he?
He's just injury problems.
No, he does. Yeah, you're right. I don't know, I guess I'm just thinking of the good times. Fabinho's starting to fall off too. I don't know.
And then if you have a three-man center midfield, like who would you want there? Like the kids already, or are the kids not ready yet?
The kids are not all right.
What about Cujo?
Cujo, Curtis Jones. He's been around for a while.
I heard he had a good performance.
He did. He did play well. He's not the... He's more offensive, though, right? He likes to get out there and do all his fancy tricks and make cool passes and shots. He's not the type to run back on D and play like that central mid.
That's why you got Fabinho there.
Yeah, but...
He's not exciting going forward.
And then and then Fabio Carvalho, because we said it last week, like he's maybe a year away. Maybe he needed a year on...
Yeah, but he's also offensive-minded. I don't think he's running back either and tracking back. He needs like a box-to-box midfielder.
They have to get Paulinho.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, like a N'Golo Kante type.
Yeah, a new Gerrard. I think Bellingham was ruled out this week or last week.
I don't think you want him for that either, though. He's a forward player.
I don't know. Hard to say.
Nottingham get hit with the old 1-2 by Manchester United. A 2-0 win with the scoring open by Antony and capped by Diogo Dalot on his 100th United appearance. Great to him. I think they linked up for that goal and they did a little handshake celebration.
That was cool.
It reminded me of like a baseball one where they like ironically are like very professional. Yeah. They like shake hands.
Serious faces, handshake. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I thought it sounded wrong to me, but I heard the announcer say that was his first Premier League goal.
Dalot?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, it could be true.
Maybe.
I think he's got a couple in Europe.
Yeah, maybe not
in the Premier League.
Or FA Cup or some shit.
Yeah,
FA Cup.
Whatever. He's a killer. He's big, man. I didn't realize how tall he is. Maybe he's just standing beside Antony here that he looks...
he looks bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good-sized boy.
Yeah, man.
Bruno also looked like he had a pretty good game. Looked like he was creating a lot of chances. Very dangerous.
Yeah.
That's how you want to see Bruno.
He was unleashing balls on that net. I saw somewhere that it was like with Christian Eriksen back in the starting lineup coming back from injury, he was doing the link-up play with Bruno.
Much better.
That's why the magic was happening.
Yeah.
Fred McTominay. Fred, what do they call him? McTomafred? McFredmanay? It wasn't really working.
McFred.
Bruno.
Well, you know what? Credit to Keylor Navas. That guy had a good game as well.
Keylor Navas played amazing. I wish we had Keylor Navas when we had the chance to buy him, man. Keylor Navas looked great.
Should have went for him, yeah.
Yeah. So, Arsenal still in first by 4 points. United down in third with 59 points. Newcastle behind them with 56. Spurs in that, Europa League, I guess? 53 points.
Well, City has a game in hand. The title's in City's hands. They just have to win the game in the hand and beat Arsenal.
Oh, yeah.
And win out.
Damn. So, yeah.
Well,
so
maybe Arsenal drops points elsewhere.
Yeah. So City's next game is against Arsenal. Arsenal have to play Southampton midweek and then City. But I guess City also has to play Champions League. So ain't nobody going to be ready.
Potential 6-pointer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on to France. PSG beat Lens 3-1. Goals from Mbappe, Messi, as well as Vitinha. A nice low ball from outside the box curls right in. I think that was his first PSG goal.
Very nice.
Yes.
Wow, a lot of firsts this week.
Only took him until April of the season, but hey, as long as it comes.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be like ketchup, how they always say.
Like the glass bottle.
Yeah.
They only have that in Europe, so all the strikers always make that analogy. Goals, they're like ketchup. Or was that Mourinho who said that?
Probably Mourinho. Who sounds like that? Something he'd say.
We'll have to look that up.
But yeah. I mean, when Mbappe is scoring as much as he is, I think he's the highest goal scorer in French history in the 21st century now. He did that real quick.
Well, the century is quite young, so.
Yeah. The third goal was Messi, and Mbappe had the nice little flick to him.
Oh, that was
shout
nice,
out
yeah.
over there.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like they practice for that.
Hey, best player of the 21st century. No, wait. Messi and Ronaldo win that century. Best player of the decade so far, Mbappe.
Mbappe.
Say that.
Yep.
Best player right now, I think.
Right now? Better than Haaland?
Absolutely.
Ooh. Hmm. All right. More Vitinha magic in France as Big Vitinha bags 2 goals for Marseille in a 2-1 win over Troy. Yeah, that was also his first goal. Wolf Vitinha is bagging their first French League goals.
He got 2.
He did.
I like that turn. He made a really nice turn, and he hasn't been talked about or highlighted a lot since he left, and now...
He hasn't been playing that much.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he got a chance this weekend, and nice to see that he proved himself a bit.
You got
to
take your chances.
Exactly.
And you also got to rotate the squad, get new guys in there who are hungry and want to play well.
Yep, because Alexis Sanchez was out there, and he bungled some shots.
He could be a bungler.
He's a bungler.
He is.
I wonder if he lives in a bungalow.
Italy. His mansion is a bungalow, but because he also is very short, but... It's just like spread out like all over the country.
It's a compound.
It's a compound.
Oh. It's vast.
Is that what you said? Is that what you call a big, very wide bungalow, a compound?
I just, that wherever a Chilean guy lives, it's a compound.
All right, to Italy's Serie A. Tired AC Milan tie Bologna 1-1 on the weekend as they prepare to take on Napoli again midweek. Napoli, likewise, they fail to win. They tie Verona 0-0. Osimhen back from injury. He plays the final 20 minutes ready for the UCL. Might be a turning point for him.
Could be a turning point for the team Napoli.
Mm-hmm. Inter lose to Monza 1-0.
Dude, all the big teams in Europe, this is it. They're like a boxer in like the 10th round. They're just like, they got to go in and swing, and they're tired, right?
That's fatigue, a good point. Maybe, yeah.
I think the only teams that won their games that are in the Champions League this week were Real Madrid and City. Yeah, they're the only two teams to win. Ba-ba-ba. Mourinho's Roma beats Udinese 3-0, keeping that ship steady and in third place. I can't even believe the way the Italian table looks right now, man.
Let's see it.
Let's see it.
Show us.
Why did I do that?
Don't hide it from us.
I can't believe how it looks. You thought we were just going to move on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
You think I check the Italian table every day?
Napoli first place, Lazio second, Roma in third, and AC Milan in fourth, Inter in fifth, and then Atalanta in sixth.
Damn.
Given Juve also had 15 points taken off, they sit in seventh with 44 points.
One of my friends is in the the Toronto Lazio supporter club.
Oh yeah,
I keep seeing him post videos of him at the club and all the guys going crazy. I'm just like, yeah, whatever. But I had no idea they were so high up on
shit,
that
table. Eh?
Yeah, whatever,
dude. The two,
yeah, whatever.
I think for the first part of the season they were hanging pretty close to Napoli, and then they kind of dropped off. Like they were, they were in the hunt.
Yeah, they definitely dropped down to like sixth or seventh, and I'm surprised they're this high up again. Everyone's just dropping points.
You know who said goals are like ketchup?
Who?
Tell us.
That's what you've been looking up?
This is another thing I don't Google. Can you tell us?
One of the wisest players, wisest men on this earth, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh,
wow.
What a drop. Germany top dogs both tie Bayern with a 1-1 draw to Hoffenheim and Dortmund and a 3-3 thriller with Stuttgart. Thiago Thomas comes off the bench, but no chance is given for Jill.
Oh,
old Gil.
Gil Dias.
That's the one. La Liga. Willy Carvalho back in the mix. He scores a goal for Betis in their 3-2 win over Espanyol. Nice shot from the top of the box there for old Willy boy.
Yep. And this is how we got to watch him now, because I don't think we're going to see him in Portugal.
No.
Certainly hope not.
Nice. Calm, cool, collected, as always.
Yeah. That's our boy. Local lads, Toronto FC tie Atlanta 2-2 at BMO, Larea and Cervania on the scoreboard. Their fourth straight tie.
This team loves to tie.
Love to tie.
Me and Chris were there. They didn't want to win it for us.
No. We got, last year we had a win streak, now we got a tie streak going.
Oh. Yeah.
But better than a losing streak.
Better than a losing streak. About
so what does it say that only our wing backs can score?
Means we got good wing backs.
Well, Lurie is amazing.
That goal was beautiful.
Oh, I love both the players. They're great players.
First half, we were up in 200s. We didn't really like the vibes up there.
No.
We saw the Lurie goal. It was a good view of it. And
I don't know if you remember. I was watching Lurie. I was like, we had all these chances. No one was making any good shots. I'm like, I even complimented. I'm like, man, Larea's like one of our best players by far. And then as soon as he got close to 18-yard box, I was just like, shoot, shoot, shoot.
I heard you. You're like, well, then shoot. You're in the box. Yeah. Shoot. And he did.
Yeah, he listened. But yeah, second half. Oh, Bernadeschi tried another
Olympico.
Olympico,
he
yeah.
did. It was going
to
go in.
Yeah, the goalie had to save it at the last second. It was crazy.
Hey, man, keep shooting those. Who cares?
Yeah.
The corners are four.
You clearly don't have a striker, so you might as well try and just get it in from there.
And yeah, he had the wind coming in off the lake the way he likes it, right?
So he knows about the wind, the lake wind, eh?
Yeah.
Bob Bradley safe? Do you think we should get rid of him? Keep giving him chances? What do you think?
Actually, this game he benched his son.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, first time, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I mean, tying isn't good, but it's not losing. Yeah. So we'll just keep going.
I think if Insigne doesn't like him, I think you lose him.
Actually, Insigne came on late in the game, and he had a part in the build-up to the tying goal.
Yes.
That's good. He's doing something. He's feeling better, part of the squad.
But is really he having fun out there? When they won, he just went right off the pitch. He didn't come out with the players and clap to the fans or nothing.
I think he has resting bitch face or something. Yeah, he does always look like he's not happy.
Yeah, he does. And his shoes look really big. He looks like he's wearing clown shoes out there.
He might be a short man with big feet.
You think so?
I don't know.
Maybe.
He's
not happy because we went in the tunnel club one time and people were just asking for his jersey and grabbing him and trying to take pictures with him. And
yeah, it's expected,
him.
Though. He knows who he is.
He's the big star. Boy.
But he's shy, a little shy maybe.
Yeah. Oh, well, he doesn't speak English probably.
Or he does fluently and he's pretending so he can get out of a lot of conversations with a lot of weirdos.
No badly. On Sunday, York United home opener was a 2-0 loss to Valor. Own goal from a diving header from our own center back, Jonathan Grant. Some reason he wears number 7. I was like, why is our center back wearing number 7?
That looks weird.
It's not good number vibes.
Terrible number vibes.
That
don't get it.
Bad for Canada in general.
Yeah. Had a lot of great chances in the second half. Could not score. Had a bicycle kick. It was a fun moment. I think Ferrari hit the crossbar. It was a fun game overall, but yeah.
Defense looked like a mess. It was like all new defenders, right?
Yeah, there's the whole team, not the whole team, but a good portion of the team is new. I was like, I don't even recognize half these guys.
Yeah, it was really weird that De Rosario wasn't starting.
No.
I don't know why. And then when he came on, he had some like decent chances.
Mm-hmm. And then the striker that did start, he like had a fucking breakaway and he took way too long to shoot. But, yeah, disappointing. They play Canadian Championship on Wednesday and then against the new team, Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And I think we play them again on Saturday. So, yeah, lots of York action happening this week.
Back to back. Hopefully they get something from that.
Yep. Alrighty. Other news, Miguel Crespo scores in the 96th minute to help Jorge Jesus' Fenerbahce rescue a win in the Dying Embers in a 2-1 game over Enkarguchu. But yeah, they're just a couple points off the first place right now.
Oh, they can still win it, eh?
Possible. Jorge Jesus trying to get a comeback. Chico Conceição called up for the first team in Ajax. He caps his performance with an assist in a 3-1 win. That was on the weekend. And then today he gets to play with the academy team against PSV. And he scores 2 goals in a 5-4 win.
Gets to play with the academy. Nice. Nice framing of that.
Yeah.
So he's like in purgatory. He's like not good enough for the first team and way too good for the second team.
Yeah, apparently. Played first division on the weekend. He got assist and then went back down because they needed him for, against PSV. That's like the biggest rival.
Maybe they really want to beat PSV, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, nice to see him doing well. On Twitter, Dave said he would be fitting great at Braga, taking Yuri Medeiros' spot or at least battling with him for it.
Oh, okay. I got one more other news. Check out Cardozo's goal. He just scored it. It was a little free kick. Doesn't take a run-up. Fools the goalie like he is going to set it up. And he just dinks it over the wall. Yeah. Very nice.
Looked cool, yeah.
Sneaky. And you guys talking about clapping the fans, and I missed this during the Benfica game, but this was part of it, okay? So at the end, they're going to go clap the fans, and most players do. And then Grimaldo, it looked like Verissimo and Morato are like, they're like whistling us. Fuck this. We're fucking. You guys want to whistle us? We're going to the bench, or to the locker room. And I couldn't believe that. You just it takes nothing. You don't even care. Just walk up there and like hear them whistle. Like that's what you're supposed to do.
But that's crazy that they have to go and get abused after losing. And then haven't they lost enough?
It's haven't they lost enough?
Three take games the in other a row
take
now.
Take the second L. Go over there and hear what those people had to say. A lot of them traveled, right?
Yeah.
From Lisbon or wherever to go to Chaves, which is so far up north. Now, a lot of those people are northerners and they're just coming to because Benfica and everything like that, right? But no matter what, you're away and you're supposed to do that.
I think, like, if you're, like, such a big fan, you think you're the 12th man, you're part of the team, what kind of teammate would do that to the rest of his teammates? You're supposed to clap them and say, come on, we're gonna win the next games. Just keep your head up.
That's a fair point. But, you know, I think Benfica, I think another team would probably do that, but I think Benfica has seen this collapse before. They are worried, and they don't want to see it again. And Grimaldo has been a part of a couple of those collapses, so maybe he should learn something and figure out a different way of doing things.
But he knows how they are, so he doesn't want to deal with it. He's like, oh, this shit again.
He's got to change. Well, he's got to make a change.
How about stop sucking?
Yeah.
Stop sucking. Fair. Stock of the week?
Rashid.
Rashid, ooh. I like that little Paraguayan boy on Brighton Hove and Albion.
That's it.
Oh,
I was going to throw... Almiron?
Yeah. No, not Almiron.
Oh, Brighton. I don't know.
I don't know his name. He's like 19. He's really young.
I was going to recommend the Vitinha one, but that was recency bias. Yeah. The Brighton one was the best shot of the week.
Top shelf.
And you know what I say? Give it to the kid.
Give it to the kid. All right. Juan Wonder. Bum, bum,
bum. Vitinha?
Guys, I'm giving it to my boy Diogo Jota.
Oh, yeah. Jota.
He's back.
That was a good performance.
He's back.
Yeah, that was a good game.
He I'd had a good assist the last game and they lost. He's been playing well and, yeah, two goals and an assist.
I would say Marseille Vitinha with the two goals there, but I mean, Jota got that assist. They crushed Leeds.
Well, this is where the Benfica boys come in and give their 2 cents.
Well, I'm trying to think, and nothing really has blown me away in the Portuguese league. So, can we give it to Salvador Agra again? Is he Portuguese?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Jota.
Jota?
Well, I already said Marseille Vitinha.
Okay. Jota?
Jota one? So you're switching.
I was just making the argument. I didn't officially pick anyone. Jota, I think, is...
Yeah, I'm fine. I can do that.
All right.
I ain't going to argue.
It's the assist that puts him over the top.
Yeah.
Vitinha had two goals. Jota had two goals and an assist. Yeah. They're both making comebacks. Vitinha hasn't played very much. So, you know what? The assist, it puts it over the edge, you know?
So, Premier League.
Puts me over the edge.
Marseille was playing this team, Troy. I never heard of them. Yeah. Thanks once again for listening. Hit us up on the social at Portugal_Corner on Twitter, at Portugal Corner on Insta. Email us at theportugalcorner@gmail.com. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and take a minute to leave a rating or review. Check out the old eps if you'd like. Final thoughts, inspirational messages? Anything?
Always clap the away fans.
Always clap the away fans. Yeah.
Don't make it look like a chore.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's the end of the season. Things are heating up. If your team's not doing well, it seems like everybody's team wasn't doing well this week. But
it seems like everyone's tense.
Yeah,
this is like the tense part of the season. It's great sports, you know. Yeah. Leafs are starting up this weekend, tomorrow. I'm very excited about that. But tensions are high. But in the rest of your life, take it easy, man. Yeah. Life's getting a lot better. It's very nice and warm, you know.
Dude, tensions are high. These goalies are on fire everywhere. Everyone's making big saves.
And it's not even goalie week.
It's not even goalie week.
No.
It was Vitinha week.
Yeah.
Vitinha week over here in the Portugal Corner podcast. We should have given it to Vitinha on Vitinha week, though.
Too late.
We should have given it to both Vitinhas at the same time.
A double?
Missed joke opportunity. Oh, well.
Oh.
There'll be more.
Yeah. All right. Next time.
All right. Good night.
Take a load off Fanny. Take a load for free. Take a load off Fanny. And you put the load right on me. I picked up my bag. I went looking for a place to hide. I saw Carmen and
much more.